Welcome to the Lead Defend Podcast, a show designed to help you grow in faith and leadership as you navigate the stages of young adulthood. We address important faith topics and provide practical life tips, helping you build up your faith as you engage a changing culture. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Lead Defend Podcast. Got a little something different today, but super excited about. Brock is not able to be my co-host today, but we have not one, but two guests with us today. Two ladies that I know very, very well and appreciate very much who they are. And so I want to give them a moment to introduce themselves here in just a second for those who may not know either one of these ladies. But also want to say, even though this is a podcast that will probably be titled Women in Ministry or something like that, if you're one of our men who listen, don't check out. Because this is just as important for you as it is for our ladies who will be listening today. But grateful to have you two with us today. So I've got Carmen and Nicole with us. So Nicole, take a moment and tell our listeners a little bit about you, what you do in ministry, and whatever else you'd like to share.
Yeah. I'm Nicole, and I have been in kids ministry for the past 10 years, and it's the best job on the face of the planet. I work at the Summit Church in Valonia now and am married to Justin, been married for 6 years, and we're just having the best time doing all the things together.
All right. Very cool. And Carmen, for many of you who have been a Super Summer, probably know Carmen, but for those who may not know you, take a moment and tell them about you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Bill. So I am Carmen, and I am wife to Brian and mom to Chloe and Harrison. And they are both out of the house now. So we're empty nesters for the very first time in our lives. But I've been doing student ministry in some way, shape, or fashion for the past 32 years. So it is a joy to be able to serve in ministry. But currently, I am enjoying being on staff with Nicole. She is the children's minister at Summit Valonia, and I am the student minister at Summit Valonia. So, ladies, it has been a fun ride to be able to do this along a friend of mine, and so I'm excited to get to do this today with her.
Well, good. And I'm excited for you guys to be on staff together, because Carmen, I know you have been on church staffs for many, many years, but you have always been kind of the lone female there, and so now to have somebody to be on staff with. And Nicole, that's a really cool experience, I would imagine.
Yes, I love it. It's the best. We get to do everything together, and it makes me so happy.
That is great. Well, I am grateful we asked them to be a part of this podcast today, because we want to talk women in ministry, specifically because that is something that is really beginning to change in a really good way. Traditionally, and you and I have all talked about this before we got on the podcast, and we've known each other for years. But, you know, traditionally, the idea has been either you had to be a pastor's wife or secretary, something like that, for women in ministry. But over the last few years, there has really been a change in that, more and more opportunities for women in ministry that don't involve just one of those two. Nothing wrong with one of those two. But Carmen, I know you and I have discussed previously over the years, like growing up, that is really kind of what we were told about those roles, but that is changing. So I just thought it would be helpful to have a conversation on that, both for the ladies who may be listening, who feel a call to ministry, because we have more and more women beginning to step up and say that God's calling them to some type of ministry role within the walls of the church or on the mission field. But also want to take some time today to speak into the guys, because for many guys, they have not seen women in full-time ministry, what that looks like. They've not seen that on a staff. I will be honest, I'm a little embarrassed by this story, but I've told Carmen this story before, but I'll never forget the first time that Carmen and I kind of met. We didn't meet formally in that position, but we were at Super Summer. I think it was 05, but it might have been 06. I think it was 05. And I was going to dean one of the schools. Carmen was going to be assistant dean. We were in a room that we were sharing. She got to set hers up first, and I didn't know who she was. But I remember walking in the room and finding out she was going to be a dean of one of the primetime schools. And in my mind, I was just like, who is this chick? And why is she being a dean, man? And so, but part of me is really embarrassed about that. But the truth is, even though I was in full-time ministry at that time, had been in multiple churches of different sizes, kind of either working with students or growing up, I just never saw women in ministry. That was that was just a different idea for me. And even though that has begun to change in some places, there's still probably a lot of guys who listen who don't have any experience with women in ministry and serving alongside that. So we also want to speak into the guys today a little bit about that. Well, before we get into that, one of the things that we like to do is take a few minutes and let our podcast guests share their call to ministry story, just a couple of minutes. So Nicole, we'll start with you. Tell our listeners a little bit about how you got your call to ministry.
Yeah, so I have always loved the local church. My whole life, I have been a huge fan of going to class and learning things and loving all of that. And so I went to college at Arkansas State University for a little while. And the very first thing I remember outside of volunteering for like kids' church on a Sunday morning whenever I was in student ministry was there was a freshman worship team. And there was this guy named Mark Parsley. Shout out to Mark because he's a precious angel.
Love me some Mark Parsley. Mark. Yeah.
Mark was kind of in charge of the worship process there at ASU. And so Mark asked me about a very specific job as far as keyboard playing there at ASU. And it was the first time I felt like I had ever been invited to do something. First time that I ever felt like, hey, let's just think about this for a second. Just a really good time to talk about that. And so anyway, Mark invited me to the worship team, and I learned lots and lots during that summer. But then after that, there was a guy named Richard Alonzo, and Richard saw me in college at UAM back in Monticello. So I swapped in the middle of my school time, and Richard stopped me and asked me if I would be a sixth and seventh grade girls discipleship leader. And I told him no. I was like, absolutely not. Not because I don't love middle school girls, because I do. Like, they're the sweetest things in the whole wide world. But I was genuinely just terrified of what that would look like. And I was like, I have no clue what to do with that. And I'd never heard of any other girls having a job like that, you know? And so he said, that's fine. I already know that God's called me to ask you. So whenever you're ready, just holler back at me.
Wow.
And a week later, I just said, yes, okay, sure. I have no clue what I'm doing. And the rest is history. So
Very cool. Yep. All right. And now you're at Summit working with the kiddos.
It's the best.
Not schoolers, just the kiddos.
Well, actually, I came back. Carmen asked me recently to be a D group leader for sixth and seventh grade girls again. And so I'm actually getting to do exactly what I had hoped that I would get to do again, because it was truly one of the sweetest times of my life to spend time with them and learn how to read God's word together and have accountability. We have accountability questions every week, and it's the coolest thing in the world. So I'm really glad that I get to do kids and students in a place all together. It just makes me happy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. And Carmen.
Yeah. So my story starts when I was in eighth grade. So I knew that God was calling me to something, but like Bill, what you talked about is so true. It was so taboo in the 90s. And I'll be honest, most people said, oh, so you're being called to be a pastor's wife. And I thought, well, that may come to be, and I think pastor's wives are great and play integral parts in the church, but I did not feel like God was calling me specifically to be a pastor's wife, and he wasn't, as I know now after being married for almost 26 years. but what I learned is through that process is really just trying to discern the will of God for myself, seeking out people that would pour into me, people who would end up, and I say this a lot to girls, but people who would not only confirm that calling on my life, but affirm that calling on my life.
That's good.
And so that played out over the next few years. So a man named Keith Hodges came into our student ministry when I was in ninth grade. And huge shout out to him. I know Mark was such a part of your calling, Nicole, but Keith was one of those men who saw the calling that God had placed on my life and began to pour into me. He showed me what it meant to love teenagers so well, to actually get on my knees and beg the Lord for their salvation. And so as I began to walk through those years with him, he began to give me more and more opportunity. And so my junior year of high school, he said, hey, would you be my intern this summer? And so I served with him. I know this sounds crazy, but I served as an intern for 7 years, 3 years after, I guess, after 10th grade, really, and then 4 years while I was in college. And so he gave me opportunities to learn from him, but he also gave me opportunities to learn from my weaknesses and my mistakes. And that was huge for me. So fast forward to Super Summer, which is kind of ironic since I work for Super Summer now.
Yeah.
But when I was standing there my senior year, 1994, in that auditorium at JPAC, the Lord called me. And I knew from eighth grade on, the Lord had been showing me all of these steps and affirming that in other people. And then that last Saturday, the Lord called me and I stood up and I walked out of that building and back to some other adults and celebrated with them that God was calling me into full-time ministry. And so, like Nicole said, I've had I guess the rest is history, but I've had a lot of history, probably more history than Nicole, for sure. Well, I know there has been. So I've been at several churches and then obviously had the pleasure of working as the camp coordinator for Super Summer and just a lot of different areas of ministry that God has opened up. And I think that's where sometimes girls struggle. They think that there's only this one place for them to serve.
Yeah.
And that is so untrue. And that is not what has been my experience. And God has always opened doors.
Yeah. That's good. So let's go with that. What are some different ways over the last few years that you have seen women serve in ministry positions outside of those that we were growing up? I mean, you and I grew up in the same era, 80s and 90s, kind of right. How that worked, and that was what women were told. But outside of those two, again, nothing wrong with being church secretary or a pastor's wife, if that's what God calls you to be. But what are some ways in the last decade or so you've seen and interacted with women, different roles you've seen them serve in?
Yeah, I think that one of my favorite things I get to see is any women that get to work in discipleship as a whole. When we see, because discipleship's for everyone, right? Like, we are all called to be disciples, but we're all also called to disciple other people when the time comes. And so I think what's cool is that I've seen so many women, young, older, all the things, learn more about what it means to disciple people within the church walls, but also outside of, and like the way that they even go to college campuses or they go to their workforce or whatever that looks like. Even within the church walls, though, I think that we're seeing more and more people. I think about Hannah Zirbel, who is at Woodland Heights doing college. Like, it's the coolest thing in the world to see her. She's the most fun in the entire world. I think of Hannah Ganae, who not only serves the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, but like serves the local church in different ways too, and is like an incredible disciple of Jesus. And so I think about these women that we get to see. Lou Bryant, who's the girls associate at First Rogers, who is getting to truly be in the trenches with these girls and like teaching them how to encourage others at school or do things well. I just think of all these places that get to do ministry within the church walls. And I think of these women and they're so incredible. So yeah, that's what I've been able to see in the past couple of years.
Good.
Yeah. The same for me. So, Andrea Lennon would be one that I have known for, gosh, it's probably been 15 years, but we worked on the same team as I was working with Super Summer. I got to see how God was using her in women's ministry and then her be able to have her own ministry and now work for Lifeway and getting to see that evolve. Again, not putting God in a box of this is all I'm ever going to be able to do.
Yeah.
But another person that I would think of would be Becca Owens. She works with us on the Super Summer staff, but she's also an editor for She Reads Truth.
Yeah.
And so there are just so many opportunities, I feel like. Of course, Nicole and I have a lot of friends who are in children's ministry and who disciple and mentor in different ways. But as far as the local church is concerned, I just think it's neat that we have the opportunity to be able to see these women and how God's calling them.
Yep, that's good. So that you bring up a point I think that's interesting is one of the things that has really developed over the last 10 or 15 years, even 20, because of technology and other things. There are lots of other ministry opportunities other than those within the walls of the church where a lot of women are serving. You have some serving on mission field. You have some like you guys serving on church staff, but you also have a lot of opportunities like what Becca is doing, working for a ministry in that particular way, what Andrea is doing, who worked for the convention for a while, does some really, really great work with Lifeway, some of her speaking ministries that she has the opportunity to be a part of. And one of the cool things is more and more churches of a variety of sizes are recognizing the need for women's ministry. And so whether it's a paid staff position, somebody who gets, you know, they're considered maybe part-time, or even somebody who's volunteering but overseeing certain roles in those women's ministries. You have some churches, you mentioned Lou, for example, you have some that are taking on associates. I know some churches I've served at and done some interims at that will have, you know, a girls minister there on staff. We'll have an associate student minister, something like that, that will be a female to help kind of balance that out. So yeah, some really great opportunities. It is really exciting to see that happen.
Well, and I love that we just sat and named just in a short few seconds so many women that we can immediately recall their names, but there are so many more. And so I want that to be an encouragement to the girls who are listening.
Yep. Yeah. That's good. So you bring up a great point. That's the next thing I actually wanted to bring up. For those ladies who may be listening and are kind of wrestling with a call to ministry, trying to discern that, or maybe they know that they're called to ministry, if they were to contact you and to say, hey, I know you guys are in full-time ministry. You've kind of wrestled with this. What are some next steps that you would point them toward in trying to wrestle through that call, figure out what that would look like?
Yeah, I think that one of the first things that I would ask them is where they're serving currently within their church. Because I think that just like Carmen and I have both discussed, we were both serving in different ways even prior to being full-time staff members. And so I think that huge thing would be, where are they serving? But also I would ask them, even just talking about discipleship, like who are you spending your time with? Who are you leading in this current phase of life to look more like Jesus, to walk alongside Jesus, like in every piece and part of their life? And not only that, but like another next step would be, hey, we would love to connect you with other churches who have people like that or are looking for people who are women specifically in roles that they can do in discipleship or whatever it looks like, paraministries, whatever that looks like. And I think that that would be a huge piece because I love networking. I love spending time with people. We have, Carmen and I are both very passionate about women in ministry and having a place for women in ministry to network and spend time together and talk about different things because it's so important because we felt at different times, both of us, that we were alone in that sometimes. And so to have a network of women who are like, this is what I'm doing within the local church. Here's what God is allowing me to get to do in different phases of life. I think that's the sweetest part. So I would say for sure, like, where are you serving? Who are you mentoring, discipling yourself? But also, hey, here are some friends of ours that are truly love women in ministry and who also have a space that maybe you could volunteer or whatever that looks like.
Yep. Good.
Yeah. I think I would probably spin off of what Nicole just said, because taking opportunities, no matter what they are, in that college, young adult phase, because I will always go back to being at OBU and doing Disciple Now after Disciple Now after Disciple Now, leading a small group of students when I was at Second Arkadelphia when I was in college. And so those opportunities led to other opportunities that led to other opportunities. Yep. And so it may be something where you just go sit in on watching one of these ladies do what they do and doing ministry, to come and watch Nicole do kids ministry, whatever it may be. As Nicole said, there are so many volunteer opportunities that are available, but every single one of those build on something else that you learn. You learn from people who have gone before you. You learn from your mistakes. I told this to Nicole earlier. I learned a lot of things by what I did wrong.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'm still learning. I know I am. And so I think that's one of the things, but also one thing that Nicole hit on is mentoring. And we just heard a message from Mark Dance on this, but talking about having someone that will mentor you.
That's right.
Always having someone that was just a step ahead in their walk with the Lord. And I think that is so important for women in ministry because it is a little bit different as a mom.
Yeah.
And having young children. And so having another mom who can relate to those things. I just talked to a lady who has toddlers. She's a children's minister and she has three toddlers right now. And I'll be honest, some of those days I don't miss. But I will say that I think that's why it's so important to have these other ladies in your life to go, you know what, I do understand. Because as much as I love the men in our lives as ministers and as pastors, there is something about connecting with somebody who understands what it's like to be a wife and a mom, go home and take care of kids. And so anyway, that's what I would encourage, is having those people who are going to walk alongside of you. So find a mentor that who's going to love on you.
Yep, that's good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that as a guy in ministry, one of the positions where I served, I got to supervise as a part of my job, a lady who was full-time staff there in a ministry role. And one of the things that I really learned from that is there's a lot of value in having partners in ministry who are also females, because in general, you guys just have a different perspective than we do as guys. And I think that is really valuable, the perspective. I hadn't really planned on mentioning that, but when you mentioned the lady that's got toddlers and just kind of having a different perspective, you know, bringing in that mom perspective, you know, I think that is important. There was a couple of really, you know, key times I remember where we were about to make a decision or looking at something a particular way, and she would speak up and go, yeah, but we need to consider this. And that is when it kind of hit me, like, yes, we're all kind of have different perspectives, different giftings. And one of the perspectives that's important is it's important to have that balance of perspective and not just always make it from my particular vantage point as a guy in ministry. Yeah. And so, that's really good. I appreciate you bringing up the internships. Great for those of you who are in high school and college. Great time. One of the things at the state convention that I get to do is we have four summer interns. We usually try to have two males, two females. So that's an opportunity for you. A lot of churches will hire ladies for the summer, sometime year round, you know, some of those positions where they may have a full-time student pastor, for example, that's a male, but they want to bring in, you know, a female to come in and minister to the females who are there and to kind of serve as an intern. but also to really do ministry, because as a guy, I'm limited to what I can do with the females in my student ministry. And kind of the same for you guys, that balance of when you're in those roles is helpful to have a male to come alongside you in that.
Yeah, so
appreciate you bringing that up. So let's talk to the guys for just a second. Yeah. For the guys who are listening, going into ministry, or maybe they're not going to full-time ministry, but maybe they even are volunteering or will lead in some capacity at a church, and they will lead alongside other people who may be on staff or even lead volunteers that are females. What pieces of advice would you give them? How would you speak into them from your perspective?
I think just from what you said a minute ago about the woman that you spent your time with and how much value you found in her is a huge piece and part of a characteristic that I would want in a staff member that I'm working alongside, that I would want in a small group that I'm spending time with, you know, whatever that looks like. We are very, very fortunate to have a pastor, Dave McClung. Shout out to him because he's the best. We are very fortunate to have a pastor who is truly for us and values our opinion. And I think it's the greatest gift in the whole wide world, not because we have to have the loudest voice at the table, but genuinely that someone would want to care about our opinion and what God is saying to us, not just our opinion, but truly what we believe that God is saying to us for the church and for the local everything that's going on. And so I think a huge piece and part of that is just valuing women's opinion. But also I think that something else that Dave and so many men in my life have done is that they are constantly cheering Justin and I on in ministry just because we are followers of Jesus at the end of the day, that genuinely they want to see us continue to run the race, the same race that they're running, and that they have always been an encouragement to me, and that they always are like, look, this is what we can do together. This is how we can teach the Bible together. And I just love gleaning wisdom from them too. Like, that's the huge piece and part of what we get to do as followers of Jesus, is get to spend time listening to one another and hearing how God is moving and take some of those things in piece and part. I think another person that Carmen and I both agree that is like a huge cheerleader for us is Luke Dawson. Luke Dawson is an incredible encourager of women in college ministry right now. And Thomas Ganay and all of these college ministers that we have on this in the state of Arkansas are huge proponents of like seeing God move among the next generation as a whole.
Yeah.
And so I would say to men too, is that the next generation is for everyone. And that God is calling women and men to do what he has asked of them and disciple them. And yeah, I just think that there's so many pieces and parts that the men truly like can learn just from encouraging other people and asking questions of like, what is God asking you to do in this next step? And that was something Richard did for me, was ask me a question that was really hard. And I said no, and he didn't give up on me. He came back and said, no, I truly believe God's calling you to do something. So own it. Own what God is doing, own the giftings he's given to you, and just say yes in those opportunities, just like Carmen said too.
Yeah. Well, and I want to go back to something you said, because I feel like you have also been this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I didn't state this earlier, but Bill is my boss now.
as
the executive director of Super Summer, and Nicole mentioned Dave, but I think one of the things that you mentioned earlier was the fact that men can learn from women, because you're going to be serving women as a pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there are so many things as a male that you just obviously, because we're different genders and that we think differently and act differently and respond differently, that you can learn from a female minister.
Yeah.
And so I'm so thankful for the way that you and I even collaborate, because it just says that I see you. Mm-hmm. I value kind of what Nicole said. I value what you've experienced, what God's allowed you to learn in your calling in ministry. And so I think that's been one of the sweet things in ministering to other people in the state of Arkansas, is because I often say this, but a lot of the guys on different teams that I am on have become like brothers to me.
Yeah.
I feel like they are my cheerleaders, and they are excited when I'm excited about ministry. I think one of the other things that I would say is to serve like Jesus served, because I think that's the piece that men can learn with women, is not to expect them to do, quote, women jobs. And I say this because I always use this example, but I was setting up a, y'all can only imagine this. It was 115 degrees in August 2 years ago, and I was setting up a slip and slide kickball to kick off for a bunch of sixth graders. And Dave came out there, and we all know that Dave did not want to be out there sweating his guts out.
Uh-uh.
But he did, and he came and he helped me until I was completely finished, and it was just a servant role for him. He came in, even though he was full of sweat, he stayed for the entire night and engaged students, not just because he loves students, but because he loves and appreciates what God's calling was on my life or is on my life. And so that's what I would say for men as well. Learn how to serve well mm-hmm. by looking like Jesus.
Yep, that's really good. So let me throw out a couple of resources, and then if you guys have some that you would like to add, because as you mentioned, don't need to do this alone, whether men or women, but yeah. especially with women in ministry being a little bit newer, mm-hmm. if you will, those resources can be super helpful. So two, if you're listening to this and kind of wrestling through that I would suggest, one is at the state convention, we have Morgan Fulcher, who is over our women's ministry, which is all kinds of ministry that women can be involved in, along with just ministry to women. So Morgan is a great one to reach out to. Yeah. Another one is if you have listened to the podcast very much, or have been to one of our Explore Your Call roundtables, you know, I'm a really big fan of Jeff Orge's Is God Calling Me book. That is a really phenomenal book. But kind of a secondary book that I would recommend that I think is just as valuable, but in a little different way, is Kristen Padilla's Is God, Orge's book. Kristen Padilla has a great Call to Ministry book. And it deals with women in ministry in a way, but the value in it is she covers a lot of the same content that Orge covers in his book. But Kristen's book has three specific chapters in there on women in ministry. She's got a chapter on women in the Old Testament being used by God, women in the New Testament being used by God, and then kind of a summary, what do you do with this type chapter. And so it's another really good Call to Ministry book. But I recommend that not just to the ladies, but also to the men who may be listening, because sometimes as men, we don't have a really robust theology of women in ministry, quite honestly. And Padilla's book does a really great job in those three chapters being very succinct and laying that out, Old Testament, New Testament, kind of a summary deal, where she doesn't get into some of the really deep theological weeds in discussion. She just kind of takes it from a 30,000-foot view in that third summary chapter, but is really, really good. So those are two really great resources. So other resources that you have seen that you might point somebody to, you know, if a young lady were to come to you and say, hey, is there a resource that you would recommend?
I'm going to be honest, Bill, I use those two.
Okay.
Because you have given those to me and I have read those, I have walked girls through those in particular. In fact, taking a group of three girls that were called to ministry a couple of years ago through both of those books. And I think it helped them to be able to discern, some of them that realized, you know, I don't think God is calling me to ministry. I think he's calling me to be a follower of Christ, but in the secular world and still loving people well. And then there's other girls right now that are, because of walking through that said, oh yeah, he is calling me. And so the only other thing that I would say outside of those resources is what I was saying earlier, is find someone to help you walk through that call. Someone who has been there and understands what that looks like. And again, over and over and over, I will say that you will have people in your life that will confirm and affirm that. Mm-hmm. And that is such a huge piece and part to your call to ministry.
Good. Well, and if you don't know who to reach out to, you're welcome to email me, B as in Bill, Newton at absc.org, or you can reach out to Morgan, and we'll be happy to get you in touch with some of these ladies that we have mentioned, or some others we haven't mentioned that may be in your area that we can reach out to and see if they'd be willing to walk alongside you in that. So Orge's book is called Is God Calling Me? Padilla's book is called Now That I'm Called. So I think I neglected to mention her book. But those are, again, two really great resources just on call to ministry in general. Well, anything that you want to add as we get ready to close out? Or you feel like, nope, said all I need to say, bro.
I just want to say thank you again, Bill, for inviting us to come and do these things. Carmen,
thanks for doing it.
Carmen has been a great mentor in my life. And so to be able to do this together and do not only just ministry together, but just to see how God is changing the world in just women doing ministry, and like even seeing how many sweet Arkansas Baptists love women and mm-hmm. want to see women do ministry with inside the local church and outside the local church is a true gift. So I'm thankful that you get to do all the things that you do for us.
That was good. Thanks.
I would also say don't do this alone because I'm going to be honest, I felt alone at the very beginning back in the 90s. I do not feel alone anymore. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are men in our convention that are celebrating the call that God places on women's lives. And then there are people that you can connect with, like Nicole and I and all the people we mentioned. And so you are not alone in this. We want to celebrate what God's doing in your life. We want to celebrate the calling God has put on your life. And so don't hesitate to reach out to Bill and get connected with us because we want to walk alongside of you. We want to celebrate with you and we want to pray with you and encourage you in your call to ministry.
Yep. Well, good. Well, thank you guys again for taking the time to be a part of that. Thank you for what you're doing, not just in ministry, but also for being able to do some things that I cannot do or I'm limited in what I can do for girls who feel called to ministry, ladies who feel called for that. Well, thanks again for listening to the Lead Defend podcast. We'll have a new episode here in the next couple of weeks. But in the meantime, don't forget that Lead Defend, as far as a conference goes, is always around the corner. The next one coming up will be March the 7th of 2026. We're excited for that. So if you have or if you are in 6th through 9th grade, we'll have foundations for you. And then for those 10th through 12th grade and in college, we would love to see you there. Registration is probably already open by the time you hear this. So check out leaddefend.org for more information. And we will talk to you next time.
That's it for this episode of Lead Defend. To hear more episodes from the Lead Defend crew, visit absc.org/podcasts. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcast listening site. Want to learn more information about the next Lead Defend conference? Visit leaddefend.org.